Good Monday morning. Well, this isn't Kevin Wall. If you've been listening, you know this is Megan Barth, RegganBabe.com, and I'm going to be here every day this week, same time, same place, 9 to noon every morning, giving you the late breaking news, breaking down the news, and really getting to the truth. Because as I've said before, the truth is the greatest weapon we have against the progressives. Because according to progressives, progress is a 0.9% GDP. Progress is everyone on Medicaid or Medicaid for all. Progress is having more people working part-time jobs than full-time jobs, and progress is open borders. And that's why you won't see the Democrats talk about policy. That's why you will not see them advocate on behalf of the men and working women of this country as they continue to obfuscate the truth by pushing this Russia narrative. They want this presidency to be sabotaged. They want to undermine the election. And they want to deflect from their very own crimes and misdemeanors. I write about this on ReaganBabe.com, called the DNC, the Democrat Network of Criminals. That's what I have labeled them, because it truly is a Democrat network of criminality and criminals. And I believe that we will find out just how deep and wide the criminal network goes once we start digging in through various subpoenas and investigations into the past administration. And before we went to break in this final hour, I had talked about Ben Rhodes. And he writes a piece called Controlling the Narrative. Nick Short on politicallyshort.com wrote about Ben Rhodes in a piece called Controlling the Narrative. It starts, in a New York Times piece published back in May of 2016 by David Samuels regarding former President Barack Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes, Americans were given a rare glimpse into the inner workings of how the past administration operated in controlling the media by creating fictitious narratives in order to propagate their agenda. The title of the piece, The Aspiring Novelist Who Became Obama's Foreign Policy Guru, should have raised serious concerns, given that Rhodes was the single most influential voice shaping American foreign policy aside from Obama himself. Rhodes' credentials consisted of having no military or diplomatic service, nor even a master's degree in international relations. The singular reason Rhodes became Obama's deputy national security advisor is because of his background in creative writing, as his skills consisted in being an extremely gifted and cynical political operative, whose job it was to shape, create, and retail Obama's foreign policy narratives. Facts be damned. Samuels elaborates, Rhodes writes the president's speeches, plans his trips abroad, and runs communications strategy across the White House. Rhodes strategized and ran the successful and deceitful Iran deal messaging campaign, helped negotiate the opening of American relationships with Cuba after a hiatus of more than 50 years, and has been a co-writer of all of Obama's major foreign policy speeches. On the largest and smallest questions alike, the voice in which America speaks to the world is that of Ben Rhodes. The narrative Rhodes frames, the voices of senior officials, the columnists and reporters whose work he skillfully shapes and ventriloquizes, something like that. Can't say that word. And even the president's own speeches and talking points are the only dots of color in this much larger vision. Obama's lead speechwriter, John Favreau, in the 2008 campaign, and a close friend of Rhodes, also had said, we saw that as being our entire job, which means we saw the restructuring of the American narrative was their entire job. Let's think about that statement for 1 second. Restructuring the narrative. See, perception is reality. And CNN and ABC and NBC and CBS, etc., the mainstream media have all engaged in this deceptive practice of reconstructing the narrative. It's not about reporting the truth and finding the truth and providing the truth to the American people any longer. Headlines are written for the Democrat Party and for Hillary Clinton. And I'll take you to the next piece, which I had promised you. It's called Newsgate 2016. It was written by Cheryl Atkinson, who was actually fired, I believe, from CBS, and I'd have to double check that. She was fired for trying to get to the bottom of Benghazi. She writes, about the AP. The State Department, Hillary Clinton's State Department, considered AP reporters Matt Lee and Bradley Clapper friendlies and planned to place Hillary Clinton email stories with them and dictate the timing of their release. The goal was to blunt the June 2015 news that Clinton had failed to provide Congress certain required emails. Clinton campaign press officer Nick Merrill coordinated directly with the State Department on the plan to use the AP to lay this out before the Republican majority on the Benghazi committee has a chance to realize what they have and distort it. It would be good to frame this a little and, frankly, to have it break tomorrow when we'll likely be close or in the midst of a Supreme Court decision taking over the news hyenas. So what the AP was doing on behalf of Hillary Clinton was watching how the news cycle is going to evolve based on a Supreme Court decision, and they will then slip in the fact that Hillary Clinton was stonewalling the Benghazi investigation, and the AP would most likely print that stonewalling on page 16 because they knew there would be a lot of hysteria coming out from a pending Supreme Court decision. In August of 2016, the Clinton campaign was reeling in damage control mode over revelations about Hillary's improper email usage. Her aide, Cheryl Mills, laid out her personal preferences for getting their side of the story out to the public in the most favorable way possible. They included feeding information to AP and determining the timing of its release. Again, controlling the narrative, controlling the news cycle, creating headlines in order to distract and deceive. CNN political commentator Maria Cardona emailed DNC committee officials a draft of her opinion, an opinion piece that attacked Bernie Sanders. Prior to the DNC convention in Philadelphia, she invited the DNC's editorial input and made changes accordingly and asked the DNC, "Is this better?" I don't know. How about CNN, you just report the truth and stop seeking approval from your friendlies in the DNC. Which brings me to this next piece, and it's a meme that was forwarded to me through Reagan Babe on Facebook by one of my fans, and it just came across. On the top, it says CNN. Five things more trusted than CNN. Number one, breast milk from Bruce Jenner. Number two, unprotected sex with Madonna. Number three, having a drink with Bill Cosby. Number four, a Casey Anthony's babysitting service. Number five, getting a text message from Anthony Weiner. That's CNN. That's the most trusted name in news, supposedly. While Jeffrey Zucker destroys CNN by running it like a reality TV show or TMZ, actually TMZ, and a Yogi Bear reruns have better ratings than CNN right now. And supposedly that is Donald Trump's fault. Did you know that? That's Donald Trump's fault too. Yeah, because the New York Times just over the weekend had said that now that we have a Breitbart presidency, no one cares about Russiagate. Well, some people care, but actually what people really do care about is the truth, New York Times and CNN. And people are tuning you out and canceling their subscriptions because you're not providing what you're supposed to provide. But I'll provide what y'all need, and that's the truth. And after this next break, this is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, and we'll get live and local again next. Here I am, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall all this week as he's on vacation, a well-deserved vacation. I hope you're enjoying it, Kevin. But I am here every day, every morning, 9 to noon, live out of Las Vegas, all throughout Nevada and Southern California, broadcasting live out of Sin City. It's only about as hot as the surface of the sun out there, so make sure that you grab some shade, stay hydrated, and try to stay cool in our summer heat. You never get used to it, do you? I've been here for 2 years. I still haven't gotten used to it. I just go out later in the day. You kind of adjust your schedule accordingly. But I'll tell you what, I'd take 106 any day over 84 below zero. And I have experienced 84 below zero, and that's why I left Illinois. But getting back to the fake news, because there's plenty of it to go around. And I was talking to you before we went to the break about Ben Rhodes and how he alone was responsible for crafting the narrative and deceiving the American people with regards to Obama's foreign policy specific to the Iranian deal, which flushed Iran with $1.5 billion of cash. And it, there's you know, a lot of people don't talk about this cash, but the cash was not marked, meaning it was cleaned. It was sterilized. Now, it didn't have to be. And it was sent in a variety of denominations, francs and, you know, euros, etc. But it was cleaned. And that means it can't be traced. So we gave them clean $1 billion, $1.5 billion. And do you think that they're going to use that on rebuilding their country, giving women their rights to vote or drive, or perhaps solving the problems of terrorism? No, of course they're not. They are hell-bent on the destruction of Western civilization. And that includes their neighbor, Israel. And so Ben Rhodes is still tweeting, and he's still acting as a saboteur of the American people because he's sabotaging this presidency. So I believe, and I'd have to double check, I believe that he has been asked to testify in front of Congress. I don't believe he's been subpoenaed. Now, I think that Jeff Sessions, as AG, has done a good job. I don't think that he should have recused himself from the Russia investigation that the progressives love so much. I think he got some bad advice. However, he's done a good job in cleaning up our streets and busting healthcare fraud. Over $1 billion uncovered in healthcare fraud last week. He's ridding our streets of MS-13 gang members that the Democrats want to protect under the sanctuary city statutes. California is about to go all in for sanctuary state status. But this is who the Democrats protect. It's not the working men and women. That's a huge ruse. If they did protect the working men and women, they would have won the last election. And instead of looking back upon the mistakes that Hillary Clinton made, and she made a ton, and then learn from the mistakes, they're doubling down on those mistakes. But Jeff Sessions hasn't, what I've seen, really put the screws to the prior administration. Now, we had Susan Rice, who illegally unmasked American citizens for political purposes and not national security purposes. She has refused to testify in front of Congress, but she's been subpoenaed. And we also have a very long list of subpoenas. And there was a long list of subpoenas, according to Jason Chaffetz out of Utah, that the congressional Republicans on a variety of committees had issued. But it involves and requires the DOJ to enforce those subpoenas. So, of course, Loretta Lynch didn't enforce those subpoenas that the Republican congressmen were asking for. Of course she didn't. She was too busy meeting in private with Bill Clinton on a tarmac while he and his wife were under FBI investigation. So we also have Loretta Lynch, who needs to be subpoenaed, along with Cheryl Mills. Like I said, Ben Rhodes, Susan Rice, Uma Abedin. Long list of criminals in the Democrat network of criminals. And speaking of criminals, let's look over at how Germany is faring with their open borders program. Because, again, a sanctuary state, our neighboring state of California is one breath away from becoming a sanctuary state. You look at Nevada and you see all of the George Soros lemmings and his operatives in this state. And then you see the union lemmings and their matching shirts and their chants and their calls for sanctuary status and open borders. And you say, well, what has open borders done for Germany? Well, I guess not enough in the way of rapes and murders and terrorism and violent crime, because Angela Merkel now is not going to put an upper limit on migration into her country. She's already let in 1 million Muslim migrants into her country. And Zero Hedge does a very good job of Well, I think in pretty much everything in the reporting. But I printed this out last Friday to share with you, and I didn't have time to get to it, so now would be a good time. And it's called A Month of Multiculturalism in Germany, June 2017. And literally, it is, let's see, 7 pages long. So, of course, I can't read it all to you. But 7 pages long of sexual assaults, rapes, terrorism, and the list goes on and on. I don't understand how. I mean, this is every day. I mean, I have 7 pages here. And every single day in June, sometimes multiple times a day, there is just bloodshed and death related directly to the refugee population and the surge in the refugee population. You know what the Muslim immigration has done to Germany's welfare rolls? Germany's welfare rolls in 1 year spiked 124%. All Muslim refugees. So they use taxpayer dollars. They're able to get by on using German taxpayer dollars and able to, what, funnel that money to other terrorist organizations that they're working on behalf of? I mean, who knows? But we'll get back to that and more after this next break. This is Megan Barr at RegganBabe.com. And remember, you can call in toll-free, 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. I'd love to hear from you in this last half hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Megan Barr at RegganBabe.com. Filling in for the great Kevin Wall this week, every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same place, 9 to noon, coming at you live, Addison City, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and all throughout Nevada and Southern California. I'm so pleased to be here. And as a woman, I got to tell you, I watch these harping harpies on the left, the women on the left, like Kamala Harris and the other progressives. Claiming that everything is sexism. Everything is sexism. They can't get along. They can't get by. They can't rise because of the evil patriarchy that's keeping them down. Well, I don't know. I guess I just really haven't encountered the evil patriarchy in my 38 years on this earth. Yeah, I'm always 38, by the way. Always. Never a day older. Much like my grandmother. But yeah, I'm watching these women on the left scream about sexism and the evil patriarchy, and it never, and even Hillary Clinton, even Hillary Clinton was blaming her loss on sexism and misogyny. Really? No, it's because people didn't trust you. It's because you're a liar, and it's because you had no plans to make America great again. Sorry, that's what it comes down to. You were going to double down on the failed policies of the last 8 years, and people didn't want what you were serving up. So the latest crook in the Democrat network of criminals to scream sexism is none other than Jane Sanders. Yes, yes, that Jane Sanders, the wife of a communist, socialist, whatever you want to call him, Bernie Sanders. Which brings me to my next point before we get back to good old Jane. What is the difference between a socialist and a Democrat? Anybody? That question was asked to Hillary Clinton and to Debbie Wasserman Schultz by Chris Matthews and another left-wing lemming in the press, and they didn't have an answer. So no answer is an answer to me. That means there's nothing. But again, tomorrow, I will have a Bernie Sanders supporter in studio by the name of Erin Bilbray, and I'm going to ask her that question because I really want to know. I want to know how she went from being a Democrat to a socialist supporter like Bernie Sanders. And I want to know the difference. I want to know the difference between a socialist and a Democrat. So, Erin, if you're listening, I would love the answer. I've been wanting to know that answer for, well, nearly as long as I've been alive. So Jane Sanders is claiming that the probe, which is a criminal bank fraud probe into her and her husband, is sexist in nature. Really? Now, this is, again, what the press doesn't want to talk about. And I wrote about this on RegganBabe.com, and you can find it called The Bonnie and Clyde of Burlington College. And what's so interesting about this story about Jane and Bernie is that it wasn't an FBI investigation started by the Trump administration. This FBI bank fraud investigation was started by Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama in February of 2016. So is Barack Obama a sexist? Is Loretta Lynch a sexist? Yeah, February 2016. So to put it in perspective for you folks, Hillary Clinton, who is a candidate for president, and her husband, and then the other candidate for president, Bernie Sanders, and his wife, they were all under FBI investigation. Criminal FBI investigation. Because there is no other type of investigation. It's when it comes to the FBI. It's a criminal investigation. So I think that really is a point in history that should be footnoted, or at least a headline, right? I mean, when in our history have we ever had two candidates under FBI investigation? I can't recall. Can you, Jameson? No, I can't. No, we can't. We're trying to come up with them. So maybe, again, that's another question I will ask Erin tomorrow, and she can give me an answer. What's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? And when's the last time in history we had two presidential candidates under FBI investigation? Now, the reason that the press, of course, is not talking about this federal investigation is because it would implicate and smear one of their own, one of their friendlies in the Democrat Party, because they're all friendly, you know. I mean, they were conspiring with not only Ben Rhodes in the White House on how to frame the narrative, and they weren't just conspiring. Hillary Clinton's State Department wasn't conspiring with the AP on how to frame the narrative of her stonewalling the Benghazi investigation and destroying 30,000 emails. This investigation into Jane Sanders could very well end Jane Sanders' career and put her behind bars. Now, I find this story fascinating, so fascinating that I did a clip with Rob Lauer at 360daily.net on this that you can find on 360daily.net. I also wrote about it, like I said, the Bonnie and Clyde of Burlington College. And what I found was not only that the FBI investigation was started in February 2016, and this FBI investigation, by the way, into bank fraud is based on the fact that Jane Sanders, as president of Burlington College for 7 years, arranged to buy 33 acres of land in a land deal. And she was buying this land from the Diocese of Vermont, the Catholic Diocese of Vermont. Now, in order to get this loan, which was $10 million, she had to claim collateral. Now, the collateral was in the form of grants and pledges from various alumni and organizations, like big donors. And she said, yes, 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 she had a couple million dollars in confirmed pledges and grants and donations as collateral in order to secure this loan. And she signed loan documents according to this. So her name is all over everything, the promises of $2 million in collateral. Well, when the rubber hit the road, and the loan, you know, needed to be paid because money isn't free. It doesn't grow on trees, as socialists like to believe. You know, everything's free. Loans are not free. They have to be paid back. Land isn't free. And so when she had to, you know, make the payment on the loan, the $2 million in collateral she had really only turned out to be a couple hundred thousand dollars. I guess she's bad at math and missed the extra zero. So what now this this launched a investigation because of the documents that she signed as the president of Burlington College. And it also launched an FBI investigation into Bernie Sanders because there is, or at least a letter was written to the Attorney General of Vermont at that time, that Bernie Sanders had used his senatorial influence on the banks and the lenders in order to secure this loan. So all of this investigation, according to Jane Sanders, is sexist. Uh-huh. Well, that would mean then Barack Obama and Loretta Lynch are a couple of misogynists and sexists. See, the Democrats act like there is no history that we can go back to. Like, we don't have an internet that Al Gore created. So we can't, you know, go back and find some pieces of information. I mean, for me to put together this story on ReaganBabe.com, I literally had to go to a watchdog organization in Vermont called the VermontDigger.org to get information, because the Vermont Digger was digging. They had so much information on this bank fraud or alleged bank fraud and the loans secured by Jane Sanders, more so than any mainstream media outlet cared to find or report on. Now, here's where this story from mostly that I sourced mostly from the Vermont Digger gets really interesting. So, OK, she's under investigation. So is Bernie for alleged bank fraud. Now, that started in February 2016. In May of 2017, the college closed because of these awful financial transactions. And in July of 2016, in May of 2016, the college closed. In July of 2016, there was a robbery at Burlington College. Yes, you heard that right, a robbery. Now, no one got shot in the back of the head like Vince Foster, but there's a robbery. And the robbers, or robber, burglar, decided to destroy all of the computers. You know, like those, or steal the computers or destroy them using water and coffee, according to the police report. They decided to destroy the computers in the administration building or steal the computers. Now, these computers, of course, would house the financial documents related to probably these loan transactions. So during an FBI investigation, which started in February of 2016, in July of 2016, during the FBI investigation, Burlington College was burglarized. I can't make this stuff up. I'm telling you what. If Jeffrey Zucker wants good ratings, he should run with my story. This could be a made-for-TV movie, right? I would tune in. You can't write reality, and this is the most juicy, salacious type of reality. So it gets better, okay? It gets better. So the burglary happens. The surveillance cameras were cut. According to affidavits, everybody that worked at Burlington College thought it was an inside job because of which surveillance cameras were cut, and a van was stolen from Burlington College, and the keys were kept in this one place, and the woman who was responsible for keeping the keys said, God, I can't believe that they found the keys. Again, inside job. So the van is stolen, is used as a getaway car, and inside the van are all of, well, not all, but many of the computers and electronic equipment. Now, they catch the guy with the van, the stolen van, and the stolen equipment. And they catch him 3 hours later in New York. And before the Burlington Police Department can interview the perp, the DA in New York extradites the guy based on an outstanding warrant that was for him in Philadelphia. Now, guess what? Gets better. So the FBI, who's investigating all of this, is obviously doesn't have any of these computers and probably can't use or recover any of the information on the computers that were ruined with coffee or water. But guess what's missing? The mainframe, meaning the main computer, the server, and the hard drive. So the server and the hard drive are missing in a bank fraud investigation. And the perp that was caught and extradited to Philadelphia is also missing. Amazing how that happens. Will the FBI ever get down to the truth without the server and the computer and the hard drive? Well, that remains to be seen. But it was interesting because I was talking to one of my friends who's a former agent, and that's, I'll just say that, a former agent. And I said, so where is this perp? Like, do you think, like, I mean, wouldn't how can they not find the perp? I mean, if there was a warrant and the perp was extradited to Philadelphia, he's got to be somewhere in the system. And the Vermont Digger, I'm telling you, that was the best source of news, and I knew that they would be able to find it. They can't find him. And he said, well, maybe he's an FBI witness. And I said, you might be right. I think that's a great angle to this story. So this story will continue to play out. You won't find it in the headlines of the press. You'll find it on ReaganBabe.com. You'll find it here at 790 Talk Now That Rocks. And I'm doing great in this sexist society. I don't know about you folks, but why don't you call in, especially if you're a woman. I haven't heard from any women today. Would love to hear from those women that are actively trying to get by in this patriarchal society. You can call me toll free. 844-2-NEVADA. 844-263-8232. And I'll get back to your calls right after this break next. And welcome back. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Filling in for Kevin Wall as he is on vacation all this week. So you're going to hear my voice. Same time, same place, 9 to noon, broadcasting live out of our studios in Las Vegas, Sin City, Nevada, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and all throughout Nevada. We get live and local and Southern California. If you'd like to call, you can still. We've got a few minutes. You can call in 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. And before we end the show, I just came across some breaking news that Susan Rice is expected to testify and face tough questions regarding her unmasking President Trump and his associates tomorrow. It says Tuesday. So Rice is expected to address such allegations of unmasking when she gives closed-door testimony Tuesday before the Republican-led House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And believe it or not, Susan Rice also suggests that sexism has to do with this subpoena and our effort to find the truth. And this is from... late June, Susan Rice, the Obama National Security Advisor, under fire over her alleged involvement in the unmasking of Trump associates during the 2016 presidential election, suggested in a fresh interview that race and gender might be playing a role in the scrutiny she's faced. So Jane Sanders is under bank fraud investigation by the FBI. That's sexist. Hillary Clinton loses the national election. That's sexist. Susan Rice illegally unmasks private citizens, not for national security interests, but for political assassination. That's sexist. I'm starting to ask myself, what isn't sexist? And see, this is the type of narrative. Again, I'm going to go back to creating narratives. And Nick Short, like I had read earlier, about the narrative that Ben Rhodes created in order to deceive the American people into believing something that wasn't true, deflecting from the truth, hiding the Iranian deal from the American people. You look at the Democrat network of criminals, the DNC, and you have to say, when does it stop and where does it end? Where does it begin and where does it end? We weren't told the truth about the illegal transfer in a form of ransom of billions of dollars to Iran. Remember, it was done in the middle of the night, sent in an unmarked cargo plane. We weren't even supposed to know about it. And with unmarked cash, so we can't trace it. And again, Loretta Lynch, I'm waiting for her to cry sexism. Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton meet in secret on the tarmac on a Phoenix airport. That wasn't supposed to be found out, but it was. There just happened to be a Phoenix reporter on the ground at the Phoenix tarmac and caught them red-handed and was even told by the FBI that was there on the tarmac not to take pictures. And if we had any journalists out there with any temerity and any sort of, scruples, the question I would ask is, well, if the FBI was on the tarmac, then why was James Comey surprised to learn about that meeting? It was his FBI at the time. See, all these questions, and now James Comey is going to write a book You know, liars lie and fools believe. Always go back to that. But you're not going to find lies on this station. Not today, not tomorrow, not all this week, never. Because I got this mic for the next 5 days on behalf of Kevin Wall, and I'm so blessed to be here. I'll be here tomorrow morning, bright and early, 9 to noon. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you call in. And it's been a pleasure speaking to you all today. I'll see you tomorrow. Megan Barth, RegganBabe.com.